Hey there, this is Heather Zeitzwolf, and you are listening to Get Radical with Your Business. Today, we are talking all about bootstrapping on a budget. Yes, so if you've been thinking about starting a business and you don't have a whole lot of money to spend, well, this is a good episode for you to listen to. Or maybe you have a business and you're like, oh, I've been spending a lot of money and I need to dial back some of that spending. Well, I am joined by my buddy, Sarah St. John from the Frugalpreneur podcast. So you are in for a treat. All right, let's do this. With my friend Sarah St. John, who is the host of the Frugalpreneur. I love that word. Did you make that word up, Sarah?
Yeah, I did. It just came to me because I was taking, this was several years ago, I was doing that Dave Ramsey financial peace class to pay off debt and everything. Because he's like talking about all these ways to pay off debt, save money and all this, which is great. It occurred to me, but what about ways to like actually make more money to help with that? And I was like, Frugalpreneur, because I had been testing all these online business models. I was like, I should write a book about this. And then as I launched the book, I launched the podcast to coincide with the book as like an extra marketing lever. It was only going to be like 10 episodes or whatever, but I got more leverage and traction with the podcast than the book. And so love the networking and connections and conversations and all of that. Now I've been doing it for over 4 years and over 200 episodes.
And you've had quite the success. Let's just brag for a moment. What is the status now with your podcast? I know Apple Podcasts, you've seen some success. Let's brag about that.
I haven't checked it in a couple of weeks at least. So who knows where it's at now, but here's the story. So I noticed that my episode numbers, like my download numbers were increasing and I was confused about it. I was like, what happened? So I was like telling some other podcast friends and they actually went and looked up. They're like, you're in the top 200 under Apple Podcasts on entrepreneurship. I was like, what? I recently released my 200th episode of Frugalpreneur, and I was going to talk about that. And I'm like, I should probably go check and just see if I'm still in the top 200. When I went to check, I was in the top 100, like 92 or something. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to have to talk about that now. Not top 200, top 100. But yeah, I should probably check that again and see. What if I'm in the top 10? I don't know. The last few episodes have been getting downloaded. The numbers are quite a bit higher than before.
Very cool. We're going to get to the topic at hand. Bootstrap. What does that mean? Bootstrap. It means like pulling up from your bootstraps. I mentioned this to somebody recently and they're like, what does that even mean? Maybe it's an old school term. I didn't realize it was old school, but I'm a little bit older. Bootstrap to me is pull yourself up by your bootstraps. I don't know how many boots have straps on them anymore, but maybe you don't have all the resources, but you're going to just do it anyways. Do it scrappy. That's what I like to say. We're talking about ways that you can get into business. You don't have to have a lot of fun. You don't need to put a lot of money on a credit card. You're talking about Dave Ramsey, like, we want to avoid debt. There is good debt, there's bad debt. But if you're just starting out and you don't even know if your business is even going to work, better not to have debt. You've had 200 podcast episodes. You've met a lot of entrepreneurs. You even had JLD. Did I get that right? Johnny Dumas. What's his catchphrase? Shake the room, Fire Nation. Boom, shake the room, Fire Nation. Anyways, he was on your podcast. So you've had some heavy hitters on your podcast. What is like one thing that you can think of that you could tell anybody, or maybe even from your book, of one way that you can start a business on a budget, or any kind of tip you want to throw out there?
And this is specifically for online businesses.
Yes, we're talking about online.
Every online business starting out, you should have a website and email service provider so you can collect, well, and a lead magnet actually to collect, and we can go more into that if you want to, but to collect email addresses so you can send them updates, newsletters, whatever.
Okay, let's just start there. Some people that are just starting a business, for us, those things are like, we just talk about this stuff all the time. For some people that are just starting an online business, that stuff might be foreign to them. But let's just back up to having a website. There are resources that you can get that don't cost a lot for websites.
I have a recommendation.
Oh, let's hear it.
There's a platform called system.io. It's S-Y-S-T-M-E.io. Oh. And it's like an all-in-one platform. It has websites, landing pages, sales funnels, email marketing, which I don't use that part of it, but membership courses. You can create all this stuff. Well, they have a free plan and you can even connect one domain to it. You'd buy your domain through GoDaddy or Namecheap. I recommend Namecheap.
What do we think about GoDaddy? I'm just going to say about GoDaddy is the guy that started the business likes to hunt animals. So I'm against GoDaddy.
And they tend to be more expensive. But anyway, so you'd have to purchase a domain name, which is usually, you know, $15 a year or something. But you can actually connect your domain for free to system.io. You can create landing page. I think you can get 3 sales funnels under that, collect 2,000 email addresses, all this stuff. If you're wanting to start free and encapsulate several things within one platform, that's my recommendation.
Oh, okay. I've never heard of that. That's very cool because I use MailChimp for my email. I think they have a free version, but if you want to do some fancier things, you have to pay. One thing about like when we're starting off our business, there's a lot of like bells and whistles out there. We're like, oh, I want to try this. Oh, I want to try that. And then, or, oh, now I need to integrate this after I've already integrated this other thing. And oftentimes those software packages don't talk to each other. So it's really nice to have something that's all inclusive. That way you don't have to worry so much like, how am I going to link this to that? And because that can become a giant quagmire. And once you're like invested in something, I've run into this. I use Squarespace, but does this work with Squarespace? And then it makes it so I can't use a piece of software I want to because it's not talking right. And then we talked about lead magnets. When you're bootstrapping your business, we got to get leads into your business. You can do networking. There's all kinds of ways that you can create leads in your business that don't cost money. Networking, I highly recommend doing online networking that's free. You can look on Eventbrite, Meetup. There's tons of things. If you have an online business, chances are that means you're going to have potential clients all over the place. Virtual networking room is a great way to do it for free, but find something that's going to have your target audience. When you're thinking about your target audience, we want to attract them with something. And what we attract them with is this thing called a lead magnet. So a lead magnet, that's what Sarah was alluding to, a lead magnet. A lead magnet. For people that are new to business, this may sound like a weird concept. For those that have been around for a while, you're like, oh yeah, I got like 10 lead magnets. So a lead magnet, Sarah, oftentimes it's a PDF. You want to suggest any cheap ways that people can create lead magnets?
You can create, yeah, it could be an ebook, a checklist, a resource, your recommended resources, any kind of thing that someone could basically download for free, or it could even be like a private podcast feed or a mini course. There's a million different things you could do. But if it's like something that they can download, you could create a free lead magnet. I'm all about free at beacon.by. So beacon.by. And you can create a free lead magnet there. That's how I've done mine. If I'm doing like a checklist or something like that.
Is this different from like doing it in Canva? You can do a check for free. So is this?
That's true.
Yeah. Is that software that you're talking about? Is it a graphic-y kind of software or is
a little bit the advantage of Beacon? You can actually like embed the HTML code onto your website to where it'll have like the button, like download, and it integrates with some different platforms and stuff. But yeah, you could create it in Canva and then just set up a landing page for it with whatever platform you're using for your website.
Canva, there's a free version of that you can use. Mm-hmm. And then the Beacon one. Okay. I had not heard of that one before. So that's cool. The other things that we need to set in place when we start a business, whether it's on a budget or not on a budget, is we want to make sure that we have a business bank account. Do you have any recommendations on banks, Sarah? Have you dealt with any banks that maybe have fees or non-fees?
So one bank that's new and it's an online only bank, which I don't know, there might be disadvantages to that, but there's one called Lily. It's Lili, and it's specifically for entrepreneurs.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have no affiliation with US Bank besides the fact that I use them, but they don't charge me anything for a business bank account, which is very cool. There may be like a certain amount you have to keep in the account, but I like the fact that they don't charge me for that. I have a business credit card through them, which actually earns me cash. I get cash back. I report that as income on my P&L and because I get money back. So that's pretty cool because when we do use credit cards, we want to pay them off every month, not have debt. And then if you get a little spiff back from the company, that's pretty darn good too. Okay. We want to start a business bank account. Then we want to get leads. We want to make sales, selling things online. Again, we have to get payment for things. And there can be some tricky things about payment because fees and all of that. Okay, do you do Stripe or PayPal? Or you got to pick one of these when you're online, unless you can coordinate with the client to be do a, like an ACH where it's it just money goes from one bank account to another, which can be sometimes challenging to have things like that, especially if you're selling online courses. You're not going to be doing like an ACH. Any tips that you've come across on payment platforms that may be less expensive, or they're pretty much all the same?
I think they're roughly the same. I use Stripe. It's super simple and it integrates with everything. Sometimes I use PayPal, maybe if there isn't a Stripe integration, but almost Stripe almost is becoming more likely to be integrated platforms than PayPal.
Even. So I have a client that has been using PayPal with her clients. She's a creative. She did a bunch of work for them. They got the work. And then they told PayPal that they somehow pulled back the payment from PayPal, even though they received the work. Yeah. So deceitful clients getting the work and now she's not getting paid. And now trying to have a dispute with PayPal is a real tough thing. I've heard other nightmares with PayPal as well, that people can pull back the payments. You got to be careful of scammy clients. Hopefully you don't have scammy clients. Hopefully you've got contracts and everything. But even with that, what are you going to take them to court over $300? Then it's all held up in PayPal and you did the work.
Wow. I haven't really heard bad things about PayPal, but I have heard with Stripe, though, they hold your money for a period of time. If you even have, I think, one charge back or any of that, anything, or say you haven't had any transactions or you've had really low transaction dollar amount, but then all of a sudden now you're selling high ticket or something and a big charge comes through or whatever, that they won't release the funds for quite a while. That's what I've heard, that there's issues there too with them kind of hanging on to stuff. I haven't had that issue yet.
These are things to consider. So if you are bootstrapping a business, you think that money is going to be coming in. You may have a cash flow issue if you're counting on that money coming into your bank account and it's being held up. So we want to be mindful of, okay, if we are doing things on a budget, don't be like, oh, I got this money coming in and then you're spending it and now it's not coming in and maybe it's being held up by one of those third party payment things. So don't get so excited about making a sale until you actually get the money into your bank.
Right.
Anything else that you can think of that you've come across with being frugal, bootstrapping when you're starting out, or maybe even like you've been in business for a while and you want to save some money? What are some other ways that you've come across to save money?
I really like free software or software that like they have a free plan and don't upgrade until you need to type thing. Are you familiar with AppSumo?
Oh, too familiar.
I feel like most entrepreneurs know what that is. Basically the marketplace where there's all these different softwares that are offering like one time something that might normally cost $100 a month. You can get it one time for $50 or whatever.
And you could try it out for 60 days and then you can return it, which is really cool. I have gone down the AppSumo rabbit hole many times. Some of the software I've purchased from AppSumo has been a godsend because now it's really expensive, and other stuff, not so great. A lot of this stuff is just starting out. They have great videos on AppSumo and they kind of pull you in. You're like, oh yeah. And then they use like this like metaphor with tacos. They rate things by tacos. That attracts you, right? Because it's like everybody loves tacos.
Yeah.
So if you are interested in a piece of software, go onto their website, that actual software's website. Check it out. See how much they're really charging. See what it integrates with. Find out a little bit more. Don't get caught up in the squirrel. That has been my problem. I've bought so much software and I've not used it. I'm sitting on so much stuff because I'm like, oh, I need this. I need this to create that. And I'm not even there yet in my business, but I know in the future I need it. And I'm like, I can buy it at a discount. And then by the time I will go to use it, it's not so good. So at the same time, AppSumo has great things. I like this idea.
Yeah, definitely. I recommend checking it out. It is easy to, you know, shiny object syndrome and get carried away. So if there's something that you really want or need or know that in the future or now that you could really use, then yeah, you might be paying usually anywhere from like $20 to $100, somewhere in that range. One time, and then that's saving you who knows how much over the course of time. There will be other softwares that come out to do something, and I'm like, ooh, that looks good, but it does something similar to something I got on AppSumo. I have to keep reminding myself of that. You don't have to go get that thing that's $20 or $50 a month when you already have something similar.
Buy software when you need it. I've done this where it's, I'm going to need this in the future. Great. If you have the money and you really think you're going to use it, But map things out. Make sure that you are actually going to use it, because I've bought software and I've, like I said, I'm just still sitting on it and I don't even know if it works anymore. Here's another tip that I'm going to say, though, talking about software. ChatGPT, and you can use any other kind of free type thing. I personally pay for ChatGPT because I find that it's just, you get the plugins and all of that, and it's $20 a month. It's totally worth it. But there are other things that you can use using AI, and it is a great way to increase your productivity and creativity on a budget. So if you can't afford a virtual assistant, because if you have a virtual business, eventually you probably will want a virtual assistant. You were talking about lead magnets. If you can't figure out what you want to put in a lead magnet, you can start using AI to help you create it. I'm not saying like completely create it, but maybe spur some ideas or ignite some, like maybe some topic ideas or something, like use it as like a tool, but not as just like the end all be all. Any thoughts on using AI to help save money in your business?
Oh, for sure. There's been a few things that I've gotten through AppSumo, like Cast Magic had an app.
Oh, I've heard of Cast Magic. Okay. So tell us a little bit about what that does.
So that would be for podcasters, and it basically creates your show notes, transcripts, the speaker bio, the timestamps, the social media. And there's Capshow is also a really good one. Shout out, because they're friends. I don't think Cast Magic is doing the one-time deal anymore. I was able to get in on that. Yeah, so different stuff like that, and that would be AI. And while we're on the AppSumo topic, they also create some of their own AppSumo originals. Of those, I recommend SendFox for email as your email service provider, because you can get it for free up to a certain number of subscribers. But then if you want to upgrade, it's like a one-time fee of $50. And that's what I use. One thing I really like about it, if you're a podcaster or a YouTuber, you can put in your RSS feed or your YouTube channel. It'll automatically generate a newsletter or an email based on your latest episode. And it's very minimal. It's not overwhelming and confusing like some of the others. As far as email service providers that are free to very cheap, that's my recommendation on that.
Oh, wow. That's very cool. Another thing about AppSumo is I think that they have a marketplace where like creators can sell things as well. Have you ever done that before?
So I have. I did it with my Preneur trilogy. It was like Frugalpreneur, Authorpreneur, and Podcastpreneur. They were all ebooks. I think I sold, and it was just like $1 each versus $2.99 on Amazon. And I'm pretty sure I got more downloads or purchases from that than Amazon.
Wow. Now, how does something like that work? So you're selling it on AppSumo. It's being printed by Amazon, right? How does that work?
The ones on AppSumo are just PDFs.
I see. Yeah. So you're not having to pay. So it's not like you're getting a royalty from Amazon. Okay.
Yeah. So like with Amazon, you can get the Kindle, whatever it is.
Book, yeah.
Or the print book, but that's all through Amazon. And so the ebook version is $2.99 on Amazon, but then I had the PDF uploaded to AppSumo for $1.
Writing a book can be a great way to get your visibility out there, your credibility, all those things. I'm actually toying with the idea of putting out a book. So I'm curious on, you've written several, you put it on Amazon. I know that there's certain ways that you can get people to buy your book for $1 and it's under a certain topic. And then like, it reaches the top and you can call yourself a best-selling author. That's like the angle that you want to take, right? Without doing too much marketing, you get your friends all download it and buy it for $1 or something. And now you're a best-selling author. Even if it's like for a moment in time, you take a picture and you're good. Were you able to do that with Amazon? And how were you able to do that if that was the case?
I know for Frugalpreneur, I was able to get it to the top position within whatever the category was. I guess it would have been some kind of business category. There's like a whole strategy behind that. You can have it free for a certain amount of days to increase or lower the price. And it's probably changed since then.
If you do offer it for free on Amazon, do you have to then pay Amazon for the fee for having it there, or is it free? You don't pay Amazon anything.
But yeah, if it's the ebook and it's free, you don't pay anything. You can't do it free really with the print book. The print book, so all my books are like 80 pages or something. They're very thin. And it's about $2 or so for them to actually print. That's their cost. And then anything after that, then they take, I think, 70%.
Oh,
that's not right. Maybe it's 30%. And one of the two.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a big difference. Yeah, I think it's 30, whatever.
It is a way, though, to be out there and visible in the world that doesn't cost a whole lot of money. You could put everything in Word first and then make sure that it's formatted correctly for Amazon. And then you might need to pay somebody, I guess, to edit it. Perhaps you can find somebody on Fiverr or something like that, or use Grammarly, which is, I think they might have a free version. I pay for that.
The thing that I like about self-publishing on Amazon, you don't have to keep an inventory. It's all print on demand. So
right.
You have to buy a bunch of books and then hope you sell them. So it's like when someone orders it, they print it, they ship it. And as far as creating the book, yeah, you could use Grammarly. There's a few different, Aid is another one. There's a few different that can help you make sure that your grammar and punctuation and everything. Mm-hmm. I recommend doing that for your first round, but then hiring an editor. Like basically the amount of money I spent on each book, including the editor, and then I do recommend hiring someone to do the artwork.
Yeah, the cover art, yeah.
I think I spent about $200 per book between the editor and the cover. I went to Fiverr for the editing. I wouldn't recommend doing Fiverr because I didn't have a good experience, but I found some editor that would charge like 2 cents a word, and since they were like 10,000 words at mm-hmm. most, but her price, the person I was using, her price has drastically gone up. And then for formatting, to make sure that it's in EPUB and Mobi and whatever that Amazon requires, Readsy mm-hmm. is a good source, Reedsy. They have this free thing where you can lay out each chapter and have it properly formatted and then download it in these different versions for Amazon and all that.
Oh, okay. So Amazon requires different formats for the different types, like if it's a print book versus an ebook or a Kindle or something like that. Okay, that's really good to know. Besides the visibility and the credibility for putting out a book, another thing is that it can help you go on podcasts, which most of the time you don't have to pay to be on a podcast. So it can help you get your word out there. What are some other return on investments that you can think of having a book? How has that helped you? Has it helped you get speaking gigs, clients? Like how else has writing books helped you?
It can help you get on podcasts. I definitely recommend podcast guesting, if not hosting, if not having your own show for your business, but for sure being on other shows. But the book itself, I think for me, there hasn't been like a direct ROI, I would mm-hmm. say. It's more of a, I've been able to speak because I have a book.
So because you're leveraging it. By leveraging it, eventually there will be a payoff and ROI because you'll get clients from it and all of that. Okay, so you've gotten speaking gigs.
Yes.
Let's just go there for a second. So you got speaking gigs. Are you applying to speak places and you're saying like, I have this book and this is the topic I can talk about? Or like, how are you leveraging that?
I think I mentioned the books, but that's not even my main thing. Like I'll submit a topic. There was something else I was going to say about that. Oh, direct monetization. Yeah. Through like Amazon sales. But again, the amount that you're getting paid, you're not going to get rich off of that by any means. I think I've probably earned enough to cover the cost of making the books, hiring the editor and whatever. To me, with self-publishing, my goal isn't really to make money directly from the book. And then like last year at Podcast Movement in Dallas, I had just released my latest book, the one with the yellow cover. I actually ordered 100 copies from Amazon, physical
copies. Here it is, 27 ways.
You have it right there. Wow.
Yep.
So what I did was I had released it literally the week of Podcast Movement. And so I decided, since this is a podcast conference, I've had Amazon print out 100 copies, and there was a whole issue with getting them. They couldn't handle that I ordered 100. They weren't here, and then I had to order them in like 10 and 20. It was a fiasco, but I did get them all in.
And how much did that cost you to buy that $2 a book, or did they give you a break if you're buying it directly for yourself?
You buy it as an author purchase.
Okay.
You only have to pay like the $2 or whatever to it costs. What I did was I got 100 copies. I bought myself a clear backpack. I put the books in the clear backpack. And then I put a little note that get your free book. But that didn't work at all. So I was like, screw that. And so I just started, maybe because people were afraid I was going to pitch them or something, but I didn't. So I just started, anytime I talked to someone or whatever, I'm like, hey, here's my free book. And a lot of people were surprised. They're like, you're not charging for that. You don't want money. I'm like, no, here's your free book. I think I handed out like 80 out of the 100. And then so I had another 20 that I took to some other conference because I just wanted to get them off my hands. It's basically a lead magnet, a physical mm-hmm. lead magnet that really doesn't cost much, like $2, maybe $3.
Yeah. That's awesome. Again, you're matching up the topic with the audience, the target audience. I've actually had some clients that have published books that have done actually really well, and it's become one of their major revenue streams. I was surprised when I went to do this person's tax return. I was like, wow, the Amazon sales have really increased. It probably depends on how you're leveraging it. Maybe you could have something where it's like you have a group program and then they need the book that goes along with it. I mean, there could be ways that you could leverage it more. It just depends on what you're intentions are. Like for you, it was more of like a marketing thing, right?
A couple things I want to mention. So like when I ordered 100 copies, that doesn't count because you're ordering them as author copies. It doesn't count sales. I had the initial push for the books because my focus is more my podcasts and just podcast business. I'm not really promoting the book actively since that initial like month or so.
For most of these bootstrap business owners, publishing a book is more about what you're doing. It's not to get the big book sales. It's more for the credibility. You can put it on your website. I published a book. If you do get on the Amazon bestseller thing, you can put that on. If you're putting on workshops, a best-selling author hosted by whatever, it's a great marketing tool that doesn't cost a lot. That's what we're getting at.
That's the bottom line of that whole thing.
We're not saying that you're going to become Stephen King or whatever. It's just another tool in your toolbox to market yourself on a budget. Any last thoughts, Sarah, before we wrap up on being a frugalpreneur?
I know for me and several entrepreneurs that I've talked with that shiny object syndrome is a big problem. We just keep getting distracted, whether a new business idea or a new thing we need to be doing or a new
software on AppSumo.
Yeah, whatever it is. But we just need to be more focused, pick that one thing that's moving the needle.
It's a tough thing, especially when you're first starting out your business. It's so exciting when you start off your business and you're like, there's so many possibilities. That's where you can end up spending a lot of money on avenues that you're never going to really go down. Me included, I'd like to think that I'm frugal. I pinch pennies all the time. I'm cheap, but I will spend money on things that I think are possible opportunities. When I first started my business, I met this person who's a really good financial advisor, nothing against her, but she suggested that I sell life insurance. And at the time I was like, oh, that sounds good. Okay. Until I started studying it. And I'm like, ugh, I do not care for this subject. It is the most boring thing. I spent money and time studying for this thing that really did not have any payoff for me because all I did was discover that I hate learning about life insurance and I never want to sell insurance. I learned that lesson, but it was costly because I spent for the course. Don't let people derail. I'm not saying she derailed me. It was me that did it. But we get that shiny object of like, oh, I could also offer this. Now, I'm going to be a life insurance salesman? Like, what? I don't know what I was thinking. But hey, want to buy some life insurance? Like, I'm just not that person. Nothing against life insurance salesmen. We need them. Yes. Try not to get the FOMO, the shiny object, because it can be very costly. And when you are bootstrapping, we got to pinch the pennies and watch what we're doing. So have a plan. That is so important to have a plan. I work with people to put in place a business plan, and not just like a business plan that you're going to bring to the bank, but have a plan of what it is you want to do for the next year. What is your vision? What is your mission? Have these things in place. Understand your target market. Those sorts of things so that we're not spending money on all the bells and whistles because we can go down those rabbit holes and guilty as charged is me. I'm saying this. I'm teaching because I'm learning from my own experiences. Sarah, how can people work with you?
If you want to check out the podcast, Frugalpreneur, you can go to frugal.show. And then that'll have links to whatever platform you listen to podcasts on. I also give away my free ebooks, the PDF version of my books at frugal.show/free. If you want to work directly with me on podcast related, then all the information will be there.
Okay, perfect. And what do you help people with their podcast? Is it starting a podcast? What is it that you help out with?
So I initially was helping with like podcast post-production, launching, all that kind of stuff. But I'm now switching into like podcast growth, marketing, and monetization. More of coaching. I'm creating a program, basically. It's going to be a 12-week program. It's geared more for people who already have a podcast. How do they get it out there? How do they market it properly, monetize it, things like that.
Okay. People that have a podcast, if they're like only 5 episodes in, would you be able to help them? Or is this more of a, they have more of a like 100 episodes or anywhere in between, or?
Yeah, anywhere along the spectrum.
You're not helping them launch. You're helping them with the other parts of it.
Yeah, at least for now, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah. Until you get a shiny object of something else, because us creatives, we have that thing where we just want to keep changing up and doing new things all the time. I'm guilty as charged. Well, Sarah, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. And everybody go check out the very popular Frugalpreneur podcast.
Thanks